I'm running a new rail.
Over.
Ooh. Good evening and welcome to the Town of Discovery Bay regular meeting with the Board of Directors. At this time, I'd like to ask everybody to stand at Director Jaco could lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Cool down a little bit.
A roll call, please.
President Still.
Present.
Vice President Graves.
Here.
Director Madison.
Here.
Director Simon.
Here.
Director Tatro.
Here.
So, thank you. At this time, I'd like to open up public comments. The individual public comments will be limited to a 3-minute time limit. During public comments, the public may address the board on any issue within the district's jurisdiction which is not on the agenda. The public may comment on any item on the agenda that is before the board for consideration. Any person wishing to speak must come up and speak from the podium. There will be no dialogue between the board and the commenter. Any clarifying questions from the board must go through the chair. At this time, would anybody like to come up and speak? Bill?
Not yet.
At this time, I'd like to close public comment and turn it over to staff for presentations.
Italian Chief Burris.
He's outside on the phone.
He would like to give his report that he missed the last meeting this evening. So
we can pick him up later.
Let's move.
President's report, hear his comments, and then come back to his report.
Coming in right now.
All right.
We'll pause.
And other than Italian Chief Burris, I do not have any other presentations to see.
VIP.
That's a pretty slick move, though, coming in on the off week because you're in and you're out, baby. You're a pretty smart guy.
Sorry, unfortunately, I had a family commitment. I moved and
we survived.
Yes. Hi, I'm Battalion Chief Burris with East Country Cross Fire. Normally, I'm here at the beginning of the month giving a fire report to the Discovery Bay directors. So, let me know when you're ready.
Get it?
Roger.
All right. For the month of July, we had 61 medical calls, up from 43 for the month of June. 4 structure fires for July. 1 vehicle fire, which was an airplane fire out at Byron Airport. 5 vegetation fires. 5 exterior or dumpster fires. 5 automobile accidents. We were actually down. 1 fire alarm. 4 hazardous conditions, 2 smoke investigations, 1 odor investigation, and 2 illegal burns. For a total of 91 calls, up from 74 for the month of June.
Reinforcements, huh?
Why don't you introduce your colleagues there, Chief Burris?
This is C-Chef. That is Captain Ruddick. Engineer Pessinen and Firefighter All. We line them up, shortest to tallest.
Yeah, we saw that.
Kind of an Olympic.
How you doing, guys?
Good.
Well, thank you for coming out tonight.
Okay, I will be here next month, so if you have any questions.
I have a question regarding July 4th of July fireworks. Did the fire department cite anybody for illegal fireworks on the 4th? Because I know there were a lot of them.
No, we are so short staffed that citing was not in our scope. We basically responded from call to call to call, and then we had one significant incident in Oakley that drained all of our resources.
Go ahead.
Did you find out what the odor investigation was?
Which one?
We got 1 odor investigation.
Probably not. I didn't actually research that.
Chief, how's the adjustment coming to the staff reductions and closures within the department?
Painfully.
Yeah.
Basically, our engine companies, depending on the day, are running anywhere from 5 to the maximum. It's been about 18 calls for one station, 52, which is in Brentwood. But when Brentwood runs a call, that's a drain on your resources. When all of our engines are busy, sometimes engine 59 moves up to the 52, station 52 zone to cover the district.
Not a good thing.
Not a good thing.
What kind of shifts do you guys, what's a typical shift for a firefighter?
We work what they call a Kelly schedule or modified Kelly schedule, which is 2 days on and 4 days off. Plus the overtime.
How's the staff fatiguing?
Not as of this point, but when you're running back-to-back calls, it all varies. It's kind of hit and miss. Some days are really busy, and some days, you know, a station might not run any calls. It just happens to be luck of the draw.
Right.
But with all the calls they are running, they are going from call to call to call on certain days. So in the middle of summertime, we just haven't had a significant incident yet. And with the state's resources being drawn down for all the fires in Northern California and Southern California, it's only going to be a matter of time.
Thank you, Chief.
So don't let anybody even see it all.
Who didn't turn that down?
All right. Well,
I appreciate all you guys doing. So I just went through this.
Thank you. Does anybody else have any questions? Sorry.
Got a code 3. Okay. All units.
All your equipment's good so far?
Yes, so far. We are putting more miles on an engine. We did have an engine on a busy day burn half a tank of fuel. So, and they hold 80 gallons, so that should tell you.
And you don't get the 10-cent discount anymore at Safeway, so you're
screwed. No. We have to buy a lot of sandwiches to get that, and they don't like us to do that.
All right.
Thank you, guys.
Director Tatro or Director Simon, do you guys have any comments or anything? Updates?
Thanks, guys.
All right, thank you.
You don't really get that. I used to get 10 cents off.
Director Madison or Vice President Graves, do you have any comments or updates?
I have none, President Steele.
I attended two meetings between the last meeting and this one. One was the East Contra Costa Fire Protection District meeting, and got there for a workshop that was going on to discuss staffing models and future operations models. Nothing was really cast in stone, but my main concern, even with the reassurance of our general manager, was that there would not be any model brought up that would eliminate Discovery Bay, and in fact, there wasn't. I talked to Chief Hughes and Chief Hugh Henderson, and he said that he had not been asked that question by anybody or asked to produce any sort of statistics that might lead in that direction. So I think we can rest assured, at least at this point, that Station 59 is here until we figure out what to do with the rest of the district. I also attended the Byron Unified School District last meeting, and it was open house night, and a lot of the principals came by after their meeting, and apparently it was extremely successful. They seem to be very satisfied with what's going on there. And attendance is within 8 of what it was last year. Now for them, it's a situation with them where they want more students so they can get more money. So they're working at getting their attendance up the best they can, but it was amazing, I think, from last year to this year, the net loss was only 8 students. It was that close. With all the movings in and movings out, it just tend to average out. But other than that, they went into a closed session. I have no idea what that was about. And that's all I have. That's all I have.
I've got a question about the fire district meeting.
Yep.
Any updates on the Bethel Island volunteer force moving forward?
No, but not that they've discussed there, but it was discussed that they're looking into volunteers for all stations at this point. They're talking about bringing the volunteers back, even to the chagrin of the unions and the cry of we can't do it in California because of Cal OSHA and all that. They're actually seriously looking at it, and so I think that, and there's people that are willing to sign up for it, and it just might happen, which would be a good thing. It should be encouraged.
Council, does the CSD have any jurisdiction over fire service in our district?
No, sir.
Okay.
It can be one of our powers.
Well, it could.
It's a latent power that could be activated?
Yes.
Okay.
One of your duties is as taking on the role
advisory body, so to the extent that information is provided, that is.
All right, thank you. I don't have any updates as far as the town today, so let's move on to the consent calendar. I'd like to pull item one from the consent calendar. Any comments or questions about the consent calendar, please?
Just one item. The CVCWA is like Central Valley California Water Authority. Is that?
Central Valley Clean Water Authority.
Oh, Clean Water Authority. What's the, there's a $10,000 charge for a special project, a methyl mercury project. Get a little information on what that is.
The methyl mercury project is a project that is being coordinated by the Central Valley Clean Water Association on behalf of a number of public agencies in the area of Brentwood, Oakley, up and down the Central Valley. Our proportionate share to participate in that project is $10,000. It's a study that is evaluating the effects of mercury in our water, in our drinking water, or in our wastewater, I'm sorry, our discharge water. And the state wants to lower those limits, and so there's a study that's taking place, and every sanitary district has to have a methyl mercury reduction policy if they discharge into waters of the U.S. or the state of California. And we opted to join into the Central Valley Clean Water Authority's group by virtue of the fact that our proportion share is $10,000, and we looked into hiring that work out for a consultant, and it would probably be in the neighborhood of $50,000 to $60,000. So we're getting, in my opinion, a good bang for our buck on that one.
Yeah, it's a group deal. That was a state mandated.
It's a state-mandated study that we have to participate in. We can do it on our own, yes, we can do it on our own, but we felt it was better to join their group, and so that's what we're doing.
Yeah, and I would agree.
Mr. President, quickly, if I can, we also need to pull item E5. That is not an action item, that is just for information. And if I can explain, E1 isn't being just pulled, it's being dropped. The body that has authority to approve the minutes for the Public Financing Authority is the Public Financing Authority, not the Community Services District. Thank you.
Thanks for clarifying that. Any other comments, questions? All right, this time I'd like to vote. All those in favor?
I'd like to make a motion that we accept the consent calendar minus item one and item five.
I'll second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Mr. President, members of the board, members of the public, item five is a informational item only. Last year, you recall, there were banners placed on Discovery Bay Boulevard, sponsored by the Joey Grace Foundation, that place banners giving tribute to U.S. military personnel that have lost their lives in the Iraq and Afghanistan wars. The applicant has again submitted a request through the county, through the Public Works Department, to have the banners installed again on Discovery Boulevard between August 29th and no later than, and to be removed no later than October 6th. Tennyson Electric, the same company that installed them last year, has donated their time and resources to have the banners installed as well as removed. It's going to be at the same general location as last year. I believe there are
23.
Thank you, Kevin. 23 banners.
This is one we just don't, as long as there's no objection, we don't send it, correct?
It's information only.
All right. Thank you. Move on to item G. I'm sorry. Item F, public hearing. I'll turn it over to staff, please.
Good
every 2 years, the board of directors of the town of Discovery Bay is required to review our conflict of interest code to determine whether or not any changes are necessary and any amendments are required. After reviewing the existing code, both myself and legal counsel have made a number of recommendations to update our code. Two of them are changing job titles that were pretty straightforward. Actually changing one job title from the landscape manager to the parks and landscape manager and adding the finance manager position, which is a new position since the last conflict of interest code has been updated. The other recommended changes are, as you all know, you are required as a public agency official to submit the form 700 pursuant to FPPC requirements. So what legal counsel and I have discussed and we have included for you this evening is our code did not necessarily comply with that code. And so what we've done is we've brought the two codes together. So whatever requirements are required under Form 700, those conflict of interest requirements would also be our requirements as well. They would mimic and share and mirror each other. The one item that was not on our previous code that we recommended including in the new code has to do with the gift value under FPPC requirements. You're not allowed to receive more than a cumulative of $420 over a 12-month period. And so I wanted to make sure that that we included that so that it does, again, mirror that of the FPPC requirements. If you have any questions or suggestions or anything, both Dan and I are available to answer any questions you may have.
And if I may, I want to point out that you have always been subject to, you as board members have been subject to the FPPC requirements for gifts, et cetera. Your code extends the obligations of a conflict of interest to non-elected officials. The reason that we have been we've included this language, one is to make certain that those individuals understand that they're subject to those rules, as well as it also being a good reminder that everybody is subject to them under this policy. Thank you.
I'd like to know where I can go to get $420 in donations to that.
You mean gifts?
Yeah, where can I get $420 worth of gifts? That's what I'd like to know.
Any questions, comments? Any public comment? Oh, yeah. We'll open public hearing now. Any public comment? We'll close the public hearing.
At this point, I would like to move that we approve amendment to the Conflict of Interest Code for the Town of Discovery Bay and adopt resolution number 2012-21.
I'll second that.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Move on to item G, new business.
At the last board meeting, thank you, Mr. President. The last board meeting, President Steele requested that a letter be sent to the governor from this board opposing the governor's plan to construct the peripheral canal, or as Dan reminded me, the peripheral tunnels underneath Discovery Bay. And so President Steele and I have discussed it, and there's a draft letter before you this evening. For the board to consider. So we're looking for input, comments, suggestions as to that. Sorry for the delay getting it out. I didn't get out until this afternoon. There was some confusion as to who was actually going to author the letter. So it ended up working out okay, but that's the reason why it's a little bit late.
This letter will go to a number of other agencies as well, correct?
When I sent the letter over to Carol and Calista, I sent them a comment in CC, and I wrote the world. Because if I remember at the last meeting, the board wanted to make sure it went to all the neighboring communities, legislators, both state and federal, interested parties, yacht clubs, get the word out. That list has not been developed at this point, however.
The different committees that are out there, there's three or four different committees that are looking at this. Yes.
We'll do our best.
Far and wide disseminated.
We're going to do our best to get it to everybody. If we miss someone, if you know of someone that you think we should get it to, by all means, please send Carol, a listener, myself, an email. Let us know. We're going to try and get everybody. Before the letter goes out, you'll have an opportunity to see it in its final format and to be able to see who's on the list. So
make sure you send it up and down the state, too. I want to see it in Southern California, any federal officials that are involved with this.
Rick, do you have a timeline to get this done?
I'm not sure. I think it's the timing of it. President Steele, I think, would like to be relatively soon. But I don't think there's any immediate urgency, but probably within the next week.
Yeah, I'd like to hit the address this month. That'd be great. Any comments, you guys?
Looks great. I like it.
Any additional concern we should add?
I will. I'm going to make a suggestion. I am going to change the last sentence in the first paragraph. It says, most importantly, I'm not sure that the most important aspect of the Delta is the fields and the farms, but it is certainly an important one. So I'm going to, the Delta ecosystem is first and is the primary focus, so I'm going to change that. But other than that, there's other than one small typo.
And the entire ag industry is impacted. Entire recreational industry is impacted, property values are impacted. So, and I think conservation is the key here, and I think that the state needs to do a better job at how they're planning storage, and I would hope that these guys would plan a little smarter. So, any public comment about the peripheral canal?
Needs to be axed. I'm glad that you're doing this, and I think getting it out to as many elected officials along with different community groups and other cities is a good idea. Department of Fish and Game actually are buying property, the islands out there, Mildred, a couple of the islands, because there's so much salt intrusion coming in, taking the farmers off, so they can't sue the state, so it's an issue.
Wow. All right. All right, so I think we need a motion to have Rick move forward.
I would move that staff be directed to make the noted corrections and then contact the board when that's done to review final draft and for signatures. But I would move that we approve it with those corrections.
And post
I'll
it.
Second.
And we'll post on the website. All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Unanimous. Thank you. At this time, I'd like to have staff and Fiona.
Bernie Savage here this evening to give the update and the monthly report for July.
How's the flush?
In the month of July, we continue our safety record on no accidents, no recordables. Continued our safety program with some training. Biggest one there is Veolia got a new thermal imaging, which we'll be going around and start imaging all of the electrical cabinets at the water and wastewater plants so we can see hot spots for potential issues. So that's coming forth. On the water side, due to the high temperatures we've been having lately, we've been producing a lot more water, had some issues at the water plants and the booster pumps and chemical feed pumps we had to repair. You can see there, during the month of July, we produced 160 million gallons of water out of the wells. Been a very high demand due to the time of the year. On the wastewater side, since it's been so hot, keep the bugs active in our ditches. Rotors been working overtime. We had to make some minor repairs to the rotors at both plants, 1 and 2. Replace some belts, had to replace some overloads. They've just been working so hard to maintain the DO level. No SSOs for the month. All the wells are active. Collection side, due to other issues, did not flush last month, but we have resumed that program this month. We had to derag and clean lift station F, which is the one over here corner, on three separate occasions due to a large volume of rags coming through. And we installed a level control device at lift station H, which is the one over by the marina. Hasn't had one in years and years and years. We got that lift station now. It's working like it's supposed to be working. On the lab side, you can see our numbers are back down, or are still down way below our permit limits. Plant's doing very well. And on the maintenance side, we continue to our maintenance program, repairing and fixing on our work orders at 158 completed, over 400 hours. And just a little note on our CM, which is our critical maintenance list. We started out a year ago with around 200, and we got that down to 60. So we've been knocking those out. Any questions?
I imagine that at this point, it's just standard maintenance until something gets done with lift station F in order to, because of the deragging. That's just
correct, yes.
Until we decide, until we get that chopper in there.
Yes, because currently rags are just getting plugged in the way that's designed, and we're just going down there. We can tell by our graphs if it's pumping or if it's taking longer to pump, so we go in, we derag it and go down. But it's three stories, and you go down in there, take the inspection plate off the side, put your hands in there, you pull the rags out, take it.
The beach towels?
It's all kind of stuff. It's just over time the rags just eat themselves and they just
really fall. Chris said if you get any nice beach towels, you'd like
to. Yeah, right. You can get them out and wash them for you.
We're really looking forward to that retrofit.
Yes.
You have any questions?
As you are as well, I'm sure.
Director Madison?
Bernie, General Manager, sent out an email I think a week ago about over at Newport, there's some brown water over that way, but I don't remember exactly what the deal was.
There was a brown water. We had a brown water issue last week, beginning of the week. It was due to the backwash tank, which is scheduled to be cleaned, and also due to the new configuration of well 4 and well 5 running now. With well 4 and well 5, well 4 and 5 always ran together. When one kicked on, the other one kicked on. Due to the recent issues with well 5 and the conductivity, well 4 is now the lead well. It runs until it can't keep up and well 5 kicks on. So due to those new operational things, we had some minor issues, and we're getting them worked out where it's not an issue.
Did we get a surge?
No, we're not getting a surge. It's just that before, like I said, both wells would come on at the same time and keep a level. Now with well 4 runs all the time,
it pops in.
And until it calls for well 5, which is the largest producer, then you get a little spike.
Do you go ahead? I'm sorry, Jim.
I was just going to say thank you.
I have a question real quick. Do you have a electrical profile for the usage of our town's major sites? And can you identify peak periods on our energy use?
Only thing we can identify is the flow. We never see the power bill.
Electrical?
It all goes to
use.
Town.
Okay, no problem.
Ready to read full strength, so play wise.
Yep, and one. We got a temp.
Plus one.
I'm sorry.
No,
did you have more? On that same note, I noticed that it said 2009 regular hours worked. Is that about what your budget is? Or do you know? Or is that a tough question?
That is regular. That's kind of tough without breaking it down.
Okay.
It varies from month to month. It just depends on if we have a temp person working or not.
Right. Okay.
If we're working, it depends on how many weeks and hours in that month. Sometimes it's 5 weeks, sometimes 4. It just depends on what time it breaks down.
And how's 99 hours overtime? Is that high, low, in the middle, about average for the month, or
that's,
what?
That's about normal. We're usually around 80, 90.
Okay.
And it's coming down because as we repair, get things back working like it should be, that's coming down. These are mostly just call out, because when you get called out, it's a minimum of 2 hours, if it takes 10 minutes. So.
You find a lot of work after hours, say after 6 p.m.?
Yeah. It should be.
Go ahead.
I was just going to mention that if Bernie can address real briefly the planned power outage for next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday.
Go down to Plant 2 as they tie in the new dewatering system with the existing electrical system. It's quite a correlation and it's a dance, really. It's pretty amazing what's going on. But we have to literally shut the plant down for a 4-hour period.
Yep. So next Tuesday, there's going to be, at noon, after because morning high flow hits around 10, it will last about noon. So at noon, we'll do a total power kill at plant 2. It'll just kill the PGM power. But we also have to disconnect the emergency generator because it feeds off the same bucket as the PGM. So we will cut that power. So while the contractor ties in the new belt press area, it has to be come up to the main surface. So at that time, we have a separate MCC panel that operates the majority of the facility there, our rotors, our effluent pumps. We're going to wire in one of our portable generators on that MCC panel to run just key pieces of equipment during the power outage so we do not lose no function of the plant, because you get into 4 hours of dead time during the hot weather and you start killing off your bacteria. We don't want to do that. So tomorrow at noon, we're going to do a dry run. We're going to hook up the generator, kill the power to the plant, make sure the plant works so we can be ready to go live on Tuesday.
And if I understand correctly, the valve here at vessel C, at the over here,
yeah,
has been fixed.
If you go out the door, you don't hear
no
water
leaking anymore.
It's not leaking. We replaced all three valves on the upper part of filter C. And next month, I'll show you what the issue was. One of the valves had deteriorated. There was a big hole in it. And we went ahead and replaced all three of them, because the top one also had a small leak in it also. So you shouldn't see no water running back there no more.
That's great.
That's a great process.
Well done, Bernie.
Well done. Thank you very much.
Very pleased with what you guys are doing.
Thank you.
Any comments from the public?
Ruth?
No, thank you. I got it before.
Ruth, you were late tonight. Did you bring donuts?
I didn't.
General Manager, please.
Thank you. Farron Perez was planning, we were planning on having her give a landscape manager's update report this evening on some of the projects in town. We have to push that back. For a couple reasons. One, primarily, she just didn't have the time yet to report that. That's number one reason. There's a good answer for that. Mm-hmm. And she was in a training yesterday up in Roseville, but more importantly, she was in San Jose this morning for taking her arborist test, and she passed that. It's a very difficult test, and it's quite an accomplishment for her. I'm very proud of her, and that will also be beneficial for us as well. So I was kind of hoping she'd be here at least to be able to share that with her, but she's not. The board is aware of some of the issues we've had on Cornell Park and some of the landscapings on the side of town. I don't know if any of you have been out there lately, but there's quite a bevy of activity taking place. And we are conducting twice weekly meetings on Mondays to set the schedule, and on Fridays to review what took place over the course of the week to make sure that those contractual items are being met.
Is Valley Crest at this point, in as much as we're having an issue over their contract, I know that they've been very diligent in the last week or so about having to be there. Are they sending a manager or a supervisor here to oversee some of this?
Yes, more than one, actually. They've brought the troops in. We met with them last week in a meeting here in the office. It was very contrite on their part and acknowledged that they need to do a better job. So that is hopefully taking place, and we have them basically on a 90-day watch list.
Right. Is there any type of with Valley Crest right now, some type of a month-to-month where you guys get together with the big boys and give them a month-to-month report or not? You're just doing the 90-day and that's it?
We're meeting with them Farron's meeting with them twice weekly, like I said, and if she doesn't feel that they're meeting their expectations and their contractual requirements. We did send them a letter, which I copied the board on. And in that letter, we can terminate the contract if necessary at any time for cause. And they're very well aware of that. And I believe that's why they are working diligently to make amends.
Well, we're documenting all the deficiencies.
Yes. Yes, it's quite an extensive document.
Perfect, thank you.
The last item I have for you, as I emailed the board this morning and for the public's information, is we did sell our bonds today, $14.1 million worth. We received an interest rate of, if I recall correctly, it was 4.0007. And it literally took it out to the tens of millions. But suffice it to say, we were really pushing to get under that 4% so we could be in the threes. It just wasn't going to happen. It wasn't in the cards. But the bonds were sold this morning. All but one sold. Dan Maciello's firm, Kinsel Newcomb and DeDios, ended up buying that last one. It was actually the very first one that was for sale. It has a very short maturing period with a very short return on the investment. So what they'll do is they'll take that one and package it with a number of other ones and market that to investors. But the names that are, they don't know the breakdown of who bought what, but Charles Schwab, Edward Jones, MPA and Credit Trading, United Heritage Insurance, and Franklin Funds were the primary buyers of the bonds. So you will be seeing some at the next board meeting. You should be seeing some requests to spend some of that money to start moving it forward. The first thing is, we're doing the dewatering project. And if you recall, when Greg Harris was here a couple weeks ago and Virgil was giving his report, he talked about how they were able to, by being efficient in doing the project all at once, have some very large cost savings. We're going to go ahead and propose we just finish that project out right now. The contractor's on site. Just do a change order to that one and bring it forward. So if everything comes through, that'll be the first one that we'll be bringing you. That will hopefully be at the next meeting.
What will I do?
That will finish out both pads. Both pads and any of the underground utilities that are required for that. It won't build the buildings or anything like that, but they'll finish up the pads for the current contractor, Conco West, that's out there. It'll finish out what their project portion would be.
Chris, let me ask you a question. When Virgil brought that presentation to the board last time, I remember when you showed the edge of the pad where we'd save a lot of money by letting the pad come back to finish the pad. And as much as they're already here, and they don't have to reset up, they don't have to leave a year later and come back again, will they get some further savings over?
I talked to Mike, the owner of Conco, about that yesterday, and he has to wait to get the engineering plans from Hurwit. But I believe that what we talked about was the fact that there would definitely be some savings there. And there's going to be savings because if we ended the contract and we went out to bid and rebid it again, you don't know who you're going to get. And this way, we've already bid it publicly. We know what the costs are. We believe they're going to hold their bid pricing for the new one. So, but we don't know that until we get the pricing.
Don't we have to go after being that this is a separate project? Don't we have to look for a second bid for this?
It's just an extension of the same project.
Change order.
It could be a change order to the base project.
Excellent. All right.
And that's all I have to say.
Right, thank you. Any comments, public? All right, thank you. All right, good job. Council, please.
No report, sir.
Thank you. Any committee updates? Siesta? Okay. We have a number of correspondence items or anything we need stands out you guys want. Okay. Wow. And we have one public records request. Any future agenda items? All right, well, we're going all right.
I can tell you your next agenda will be quite full.
Okay. 16 gig, I hope. All right. Anyway, at this
32.
Time. 32. Oh, all right. All right, well, at this time, I'd like to adjourn the meeting.
Thank you, Dave. Is that a record?
No.